what you and I are supposed to see is that through those generations, one human life linked to another by biological generation, we see God working out His eternal purpose across those ages.
Thanks for joining us on the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we've come to the final installment in our series, God of the Details, a study in Ruth. Last time, Don began a message titled, God Transcendent. He gave us the first of 4 points that illustrate God's lordship over all. God transcends time. On today's program, we'll get the last 3 points. You'll fully appreciate the depth and significance of this Old Testament book. So let's join Pastor Don Green right now in the Truth Pulpit.
God transcends time and is just powerfully working it out from His perspective in a way that makes certain it will come to pass. And so God's purpose transcends time. He worked this out over thousands of years. He's still working it out now. If Christ tarries, He'll be working it out generations after you and I are long forgotten. Now, secondly, God's purpose transcends men. God's purpose transcends men. Remember how this book started out. Go back to the very start of Ruth, which would be what? Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. And remember the context in which this story takes place. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it came about in the days when the judges governed. The days when the judges governed? We looked at that a year ago. The days of judges were a time of spiritual collapse. There was nothing good going on nationally. Go back one verse to Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We surveyed, we studied the spiritual decline and the utter failure of the people again and again and again in an endless cycle of decline, judgment, repentance, restoration, and then decline, judgment, and on it went. And it's all in a downward spiral, looking for all the world from today's perspective like a plane that's in a tailspin heading for the ground, doomed to crash with nothing to rescue it. That's what the nation looked like. And yet, in the midst of that spiritual ruin, in the midst of that circumstance, where the best men in Israel were pathetic, in the midst of that situation, what was God doing? He was carrying out His purpose with a timeless inevitability. This narrative, this story, this history of Ruth, Boaz, and Naomi took place in the context of a spiritual collapse amongst God's people. And yet, these isolated, seemingly insignificant people who are living in faithfulness to their God, God uses them and accomplishes His purposes. So, we see that even in the midst of the collapse of the days of the judges, God had quietly embedded His people into the situation so that lasting good would still come to pass. Now, incidental point of application here that I don't want to spend any time on. Will Christians today, in the uncertainty of our political climate, will Christians today ever come back to this and grasp onto this and live in confidence and joy and serenity instead of acting like they were subject to the political whims and the fortunes of political uncertainty? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But you and I can. You and I will. We will see, we will look at the perspective of the fullness of biblical revelation and come to the certain conclusion that we are confident that God will work out His purposes despite any of the conspiracies of men, despite any of the turns of political fortune. Who cares when God reigns? Who cares when God is able to accomplish His purposes even in days like the days of Judges? You see, we just have to identify with the sovereign God who transcends time and man, and there we find our peace. Because God and His purpose transcends time. It transcends men. And He laughs at the nations, Psalm 2. Thirdly, relatedly, we said that God's purpose transcends time. It was over thousands of years. He's carrying out His promise to Abraham. Saw that it transcends men because it transcended the dark days of the judges. Thirdly, relatedly, God's purpose transcends circumstance. God's purpose transcends circumstance. So it transcends time, man, and circumstance. The events of Ruth were not unusual. Ruth describes common life. And yet, in the midst of what seemed to be ordinary, God was carrying out His extraordinary purpose. One writer said it this way: the seemingly ordinary events in the book of Ruth, travels, marriages, deaths, harvesting, eating, sleeping, purchasing land, they all revealed the guiding activity of the sovereign God. Do you realize? Think about that. And there are times where I just want to reject my incapable tongue because it runs out of the ability to be able to express the greatness of what needs to be said about this. God is great over time, in a way that just transcends our understanding and our perspective. He works out His purposes through the millennia without fail. That's beyond our comprehension. And yet, at a completely opposite end of the spectrum, in an equally great and stunning way, God is accomplishing His purposes through the most mundane, ordinary circumstances of individual human lives. As a man and a woman were talking about marriage and just looking at the harvest and carrying out things, totally oblivious to the fact that God was bringing about David through their circumstances, they're just going about daily life. And what is God doing? On this horizontal level, they're going through daily life, planting and harvesting and so forth. And yet, working through that, working through the ordinary, is the great power of God to accomplish His purposes. We can only see it in retrospect with the benefit of full biblical revelation. Do you see it, beloved? Do you see how magnificent this is and how both ends of the spectrum display the transcendent greatness of God? He transcends time to accomplish His purposes. He works through ordinary details of ordinary people to accomplish those eternal purposes. There is no exhausting the greatness of God. A God who can do that? Still another writer says, and I quote, he says, God, and this is tied particularly to the genealogy leading up to the climactic final word of David. And he says this: God works out His purpose generation after generation. Listen to this, beloved. Limited as we are to one lifetime, each of us sees so little of what happens. A genealogy is a striking way to bring before us the continuity of God's purpose through the ages. The process of history is not haphazard. There is a purpose in it all, and the purpose is the purpose of God. End quote. So in other words, we read these 10 generations in a short paragraph in our English Bibles. What you and I are supposed to see is that through those generations, one human life linked to another by biological generation, we see God working out His eternal purpose across those ages. And you and I, when we are in the midst of it, we just do not have the capacity to burst out of our bubble apart from Scripture and be able to see that perspective on it. You and I, and I'm not being critical here, I'm just stating a fact, you know, we get pretty consumed about our daily circumstances and our daily lives. And we think that we're going to live forever, even though that's obviously not true. We don't really contemplate death all that much. And we just go about our lives and things happen and we just respond to daily life. We work, we eat, we sleep, we get up, we start it again. Do you realize that as 7 billion people on earth are doing that ordinary stuff, that God is working out His eternal purpose through what they are doing? Do you realize, beloved, do you realize this, that even though Abraham lived 4,000 years ago and God's made His promises to him at that time, that between then and now, through those subsequent 4,000 years, God has been working out His purpose? Do you realize that you and I now stand in the flow of that purpose? We come onto the stage, we come onto the platform, as it were, for just a time, we play our part, we go away, and we move on to our heavenly reward, and yet God's purpose here continues on unabated. The greatness of God, the transcendence of God, over time, over men, and even in the midst of the most middling of circumstances as we go. See, in what Scripture beckons us to, what Scripture enables us to do, you and I, that no one else can do, no one else except a Bible-believing Christian can have this kind of perspective on the true purpose of God and to, as it were, burst through our bubble and to step back and see the great perspective on things and see the greatness of God being worked out through all of the generations and realizing that what happens in our life, in one sense, don't misunderstand or overinterpret what I'm about to say, but you and I are, in comparison to the great purpose of God over the ages, incidental in the process. Oh, He's appointed us for our place. He's appointed our purpose, and that gives eternal significance to it. But God's purpose is going to carry on long after you and I are gone. And yet, at the same time, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That our ordinary circumstances are imbued with eternal significance. And somehow through that, God accomplishes His purposes through the lives of His people. Fourthly, finally, as we come to the end of the book of Ruth, God's purpose transcends time, it transcends men, it transcends circumstance. And beloved, praise God for this final point. God's purpose transcends sin. God not only transcended the sin of Ruth's contemporary age in the days of the judges, we know now on this side of the cross that even David wasn't the end of the point. Even David wasn't the culmination of the greatness of what God was doing there. The generations come, David bursts onto the scene, and that's magnificent. And people reading it in Old Testament times would have looked back and said, would you look at that? Boaz and Ruth gave birth to the line that led to our greatest king ever, David. And they would have celebrated and rejoiced and been in awe of the greatness of God in that. You realize, don't you, that now that we look at it on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the New Testament, we read in Matthew and Luke these genealogies, and we realize that David's line gave birth to Christ. Christ the Messiah, Christ the human incarnation of God. And so what we see coming out of the book of Ruth from the fullness of biblical revelation is not only God keeping his promise to bring a king to the descendants of Abraham, he's actually bringing a savior for all of mankind, Jews and Gentiles alike, who can deliver them from sin. God transcended the sin of Ruth's contemporary age. Ruth's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, transcended sin eternally. That's what it means to be saved, that our sins have been wiped away, that our sins have been forgiven, that Christ has acted so they are no longer a barrier that creates separation between us and God. The full reconciliation to God is available for those who trust in Christ. And so God has not only transcended time and circumstance and men, he's transcended the sin that is the warp and woof of your very existence, flowing from, in part, this great genealogy which proceeded from Boaz and Ruth. Look at Acts chapter 3, if you would. This isn't tied directly to the book of Ruth, but it fits, because it shows the transcendent purpose of God and ties it into our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 3, in verse 18, "The things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Repent and return, so that your sins might be washed away, that which was announced beforehand by the prophets centuries before. And so Ruth and Boaz come together, and David generations later comes. And then the prophets come and proclaim the coming Messiah. The Messiah comes, gives his life on Calvary, is buried in the grave, is raised and ascends to heaven and high. And now from that position of great transcendence, we proclaim that the sins of men can be forgiven through faith in Christ. That God's purpose has transcended even our sin. Think about it, beloved. Don't miss this point. Don't miss the greatness of the theme that we have in front of us here. Sin, which brought death into the world. Sin, which holds men in darkness and which used to have you in its chainful clutches as well. Sin, which leads to eternal judgment from a holy God. Sin, which you were under, enslaved to, and had no power over, and had no ability to release yourself from its clutches or its penalty. Sin, even sin, has been transcended by the purpose of God in Christ. How great is God? His purpose transcends time, it transcends men, it works through the most mundane of circumstances, and it can break the power of sin for those who believe in Christ. That's the purpose of God. That's the transcendent purpose of God. And you know what God's transcendent purpose tells us? It tells us about our God. The God whose purpose is transcendent, this purpose of God points to who God is. The God who transcends time. The God who transcends man. The God who transcends circumstance. The God who transcends sin. He is God transcendent, eternal and sovereign over all. That's who God is. You and I can't see it, can we? Certainly not without biblical revelation to inform our understanding. We certainly can't see it from within the perspective of our lifetimes. We don't know what the significance is of our ancestors and how their lines will play out in time. We have no idea what the significance of our own lifetime will be playing out in time. We cannot see it. We are bound, listen to me, we are bound by time, we are bound by circumstance, we are surrounded by men, and we still have remnants of sin within us. How could we possibly think that you and I, in our human condition, are going to see the fullness of the transcendent purpose of God and understand it in this fallen, sinful flesh? No, no. We come to Scripture and bow and understand. We recognize our limitation and we bow and worship and we give all of the glory and praise and our honor and our devotion to the God who's transcendent over all, because we realize we can't see it all in our lifetime. Beloved, you and I cannot interpret, listen to me, you and I cannot interpret the ultimate significance of either the ordinary or the extraordinary events in our lifetimes. We don't know how it's all going to play out. We don't know what providence is going to pivot on. Ruth and Boaz didn't. They didn't even try. They just went about their life living faithfully. And you and I must be like Boaz and Ruth. Listen to me. Content to fulfill the duty of godliness in our day, in our realm of relationships, in our realm of responsibilities, to be godly in the midst of the ordinary circumstances of life, so it seems, and then simply trust to God and commit to Him that He would use it as He sees fit. We approach it with a mindset of glad surrender, of glad resignation that says, Lord, as I go through this life, as I go through this time, as I go through this ordinary circumstance, as I see men all about me, oh God, not my will, but thine be done. So, beloved, when your life and health inevitably begin to decline, look to God transcendent and know that His purpose is still at work. When your earthly plans fail, when our political leaders are corrupt or pass away, look to God transcendent and know that His purpose is still at work. When the wicked rise and oppress the righteous, look to God transcendent and know that His purpose is still at work. And beloved, when you are facing imminent death, when you know that your earthly life is drawing to a close, when you know that you're about to say goodbye to those nearest and dearest in your human life, look to God transcendent and know that His purposes are still at work. When you face that imminent death, remember again your transcendent Savior who transcended sin on the cross and promises to bring you to glory. Yes, beloved, always remember God transcendent. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of your wisdom and your knowledge, our God. How unsearchable are your judgments, and how unfathomable are your ways. Who has known your mind? Who became your counselor? Who gave to you that it might be paid back to him again? Oh God, the answer is no one. You are alone in your supremacy. You are alone in your transcendence. You are alone in your greatness. You are holy, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. And your purposes will certainly be accomplished because they depend not on men but on your own omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, which guarantees that they will come to pass. And so we shake, as it were, Father. We tremble in awe at the majesty of the greatness of who you are. And from Scripture we affirm, from Scripture we gladly say, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Yes, our Father, yes, our Lord Jesus, to you be the glory forever. Amen.
Well, after hearing the series God of the Details, A Study in Ruth, you realize how amazing it is that the God who created the heavens and the earth in all their complexity still manages the tiniest details of each life, bringing about the culmination of His perfect plan, ushering His church safely to heaven. Well, Pastor Don Green will open God's Word again next time, as always, to bring you more on the Truth Pulpit, so plan now to join us. Well, Don, share with us your closing thoughts as we've wrapped up our study in Ruth.
You know, Bill, I think the takeaway from the book of Ruth is this. It is both ordinary and it is completely transcendent at the same time. And that's the way God works His providence. He does great things through the ordinary actions of ordinary people just like you and me. He's over every detail, and ultimately He is directing it all to culminate in the coming and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the central message of the book of Ruth, a great God at work in ordinary things. I'm glad you've been with us through this series on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on the Truth Pulpit.